for all things that go bump in the night here in San Francisco Bay Area. This is Supernatural San Francisco. Supernatural San Francisco. Supernatural San Francisco. Supernatural. Supernatural. Supernatural San Francisco.
Welcome to Supernatural San Francisco. This is Tommy Netzband, founder and president of the San Francisco Ghost Society, here with
Shauna Sinclair, the vice president of the San Francisco Ghost Society, and
Anthony Anderson, the director of audio phenomena with the San Francisco Ghost Society. Imagine that.
Imagine that. So, wow, season two of this podcast. I'm sure you folks probably thought we never were going to come back. It's been a while, I know.
We're back.
We're back. They're here. And we're really glad to be here. We definitely have been super busy. Lots of cases, lots of cool things coming up. We just did our very first conference at the Queen Anne Hotel, and we're definitely going to do a podcast in the future about that. That would be really fun. But today we want to talk about one of probably everybody's favorite sort of haunted place filled with mystery and all kinds of artifacts at one time, and also was a public recreation area cursed by a satanic worshiper. I mean, just amazing, amazing place. And that's the Sutro Baths.
Right here in San Francisco.
Yes. So you know, we definitely like to do topics about hauntings here. And I know many of you folks have asked us about investigating it. And we did at one time want to try to do that, but had to cancel it due to the weather. So we're hoping to do it again. And we're hoping you folks can join us. The event will be a lot of fun. It's only going to be $10 per person, and we're going to have all kinds of fun and interesting stuff. And we'll sort of keep that a secret, you know. And so go to sfghost.com. That's sfghost.com. So Sutro Baths, Tony, I guess we'll talk
about... This should be interesting
about,
because we're going to show them how to ghost hunt during the day.
Yeah, and that's really the big thing. You know, a lot of people don't realize that you can ghost hunt in the day, and there's a little bit of special equipment you may need, and also there's a special process that you do as well. So that's what we're hoping to sort of educate people and let them know. It gives us a chance to meet everybody and also sort of investigate a really, really cool place in a really safe way.
Cool.
Because you never want to go there at night. You know?
No, never go to Sutro Baths at night.
Dangerous.
Yeah, it's very dangerous. The tide comes in, so you definitely want to do it early. So definitely go to sfghost.com, and we're only going to bring in about 20 people. That's it. That's all we can really have. And we're going to divide them into smaller groups. It'll be a lot of fun. So come on out, sfghost.com. So March 14th, 1896.
Yes.
Sutro Baths open to the public, right, Tony?
Yep. Built and by Adolph Sutro,
former mayor
of San Francisco.
Now, didn't he have a concert hall or something?
Had a concert hall that seated 8,000 people.
Man, and it had 7 different swimming pools.
Yeah, that place was huge.
One fresh water and 6 salt water.
My God, how many gallons of water would you need for that? That's millions.
Two million U.S. gallons of water in about an hour.
Wow.
Actually.
And a lot of it came, of course, from the ocean.
Right, it would be during a powerful pump would bring it in,
right,
inside the cave actually, and it would fill the tanks at a rate of about 6,000 gallons.
Amazing!
A minute.
6 pools filled with salt water.
You ever wish that maybe we still had the Sutro Baths?
Yeah, that'd be neat.
That would be really fun. I mean, that place was pretty amazing.
Think about the thousands of people that went through that place. I mean, if the concert hall would see 8,000 people. That's the people in the concert hall. That's not people swimming in the museum,
right,
in the restaurants. I can just imagine how many people a day would go through that place.
Because
back then, I mean, we're talking, there's no TV, folks. Mm-hmm. There's no, you know, movies are just brand new at that point.
Right.
Barely.
Yeah, and you also have to think of the Victorians at that time. You know, the Victorians did invent the weekend. and they would have that weekend, and they needed something to fill that weekend with. So these sort of entertainment places are places you could go and have a social setting, but also be entertained. I mean, if you look at even amusement, a lot of it came during the Victorian times because people really were seeking ways that they could fill in their weekend.
And I might add that that was quite a trip to get out to Sutro Baths from where most people lived in 1897.
Yeah.
Most people did not live out there at all because the Richmond and the Sunset districts were not inhabited until after the turn of the century.
Yeah, so it's sort of interesting, too, that when you think about the Cliff House and about the Sutro Baths over there as well, you know, the Cliff House has burnt down a few times and been rebuilt and all of that. I mean, that whole area just has such an intense energy, you know. And when you're there, if you're ever up there visiting, a lot of people don't walk down to the Sutro Baths because it's a hike.
It is a hike down, and it's a hike back up, folks.
I mean, I feel bad because folks who are, say, handicapped aren't able to go down
there.
It's too bad.
In the last couple of years, though, and I've noticed that the Parks and Recreation Department has really improved the path
for wheelchairs.
It used to be treacherous down the hill for everyone.
Right.
Now the path is, I mean, it's still a steep incline down, but it's a lot easier to walk down now. There's an actual path you can walk down. Before it was like, okay, let's find a spot
kind of sketchy stairs though with sand on them and stuff.
I still wouldn't want to be there at night.
No.
It'd be incredibly dangerous. Heck, it's dangerous during the day if you're not careful.
Yeah, and you have to be able to come up a big hill to get out of it too.
Yes.
To go down and visit the ruins. But what a great place.
It's definitely worth it. I mean, the event, of course, people have to sign waivers like we do at all our events. But if you'd like to come, we would really like to have you. And it'll be a fun experience. And we really try to keep things fun and inexpensive for people. You know, these are tough times. And we just want to let people come out and enjoy themselves. So, yeah, Sutro Baths, definitely a very interesting place. I know, especially if you think about the guy when he went ahead and had the Sutro Baths, he had to, like, he built his own line, didn't he, Tony, to come out?
Yeah, it actually went from all the way from the baths to a terminal on California Street and Central Avenue, which is now Presidio Avenue.
So that's pretty far. I mean, you bring him out there.
It was expensive. And it was the most expensive line because he financed. It wasn't like part of the city.
Yeah, they didn't want to do it for him, so he did it himself because he needed to have a way for people to come out and enjoy the baths. But wow, what an amazing, amazing place. I mean, and if you want to see some of the memorabilia that was there with Sutro Baths, you can go to the Cliff House. They have a lot of that in there. When you go in there, there's a few restaurants in there, and there's also like a restaurant bar, and it's all on the walls of those restaurants.
Yeah,
all
the photographs. Bars. And stuff.
Photographs and memorabilia. They have tickets and stuff. It's really, really an interesting exhibit that they have. But of course, you probably have to buy lunch or something.
And make sure you check the hours because they do have a midday point where they actually shut down.
Oh, really?
The restaurant, and then they reopen for dinner. So there is a period in there.
Yeah.
But all the stuff that was in the bathhouse originally, the Sutro Bathhouse, there was a museum in there where he collected items from around the world, curios, just odd things that he thought people might like to see. And he collected them in this museum that was like the top level of the baths. Well, when the baths were gone, these items were moved. They moved to the Cliff House first, and there was an actual, I think it's in the basement, was where they kept them all. Well, then when they renovated that, they moved them again, and most of them went to the Museum Mechanique on, was it Pier, which pier is that they moved that to?
It's now at Pier 45, really close to Pier 39, and it's a great space for it. I missed it at the Cliff House.
So do I.
You know, it's sort of added some charm, and then they do still have the camera obscura there at the Cliff House, but now they do charge you. It's not free like it used to be, but definitely go to the Musée Mécanique. It has all those old Nickelodeon games, you know, and those guys work hard to maintain them. And
some of those games are haunted, they say.
Well, yeah, you know, if you have any stories at the Musée Mécanique, if you work there or been there, we'd love to hear from you. You can always email us.
I put a quarter in one. and nothing happened.
But it was actually one that was 50 cents. 50
Ouch.
Cents. Yeah. Really, really, wow.
Somewhere there's
was,
a ghost.
It was painful. It was very painful. Yeah. But hey, Tony, I know you have a lot of interesting information on the sutro bats, and I'm very interested in hearing some of the research that you did. I know everybody goes to the Cliff House or they go to sutro baths, but they often don't go up to where the sutro, where his mansion was.
Which is now Sutro Park, which actually overlooks, there's actually a stone structure which used to be his house, and all that's left is the foundation. If you go up to the foundation and you look on your left, you see condominiums on the left along mm-hmm. the beach. That's where Playland used to be.
Right, right.
So if you look straight ahead, the ocean. To the right, you're going to see the Cliff House.
Yes.
To the far right is where the Sutro Baths were. So he had a view of his own little empire up there.
Well, wouldn't you?
I would. If I was as rich as Adolf Sutro, I would totally. He had gardens where the park is. He had his own private gardens. Mm-hmm. Up there, I mean, that was his grounds of his house.
And there is still some little remnants left up there, isn't mm-hmm. there?
Some of the garden's still there.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I've been there a couple times. It's an interesting little park, and it's sort of tucked away. A lot of people don't really go over there. So, you know, you heard it here first on the podcast. So
it's actually before you come all the way down the hill and around by the Cliff House. It's just before you come down that hill. You'll see another little path that goes actually into the park. So check out the park. It is a beautiful view of the ocean and of the non-existent playland.
And it's called Sutro Park, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever been there, Shauna?
I haven't, and I can't believe it because I've lived here for so long.
Well, it's really tucked away. It's very neat.
But just to the Sutro Baths and to the Cliff House, yes.
Yes.
And walking around up in that area. We call it Land's End here in the city. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
But I didn't know what it was. When I first went in the park, I'm like, what? This was some kind of building or a house or something? Because it's, look at this property. I mean, I would build a house right here with this view. And then I figured out, found out later that no, that was his mansion.
Wow, it'd be interesting to do a little of that research and figure that out. Or if any of you folks know, if you know a little history about Sutro Baths, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at sfghostsociety@yahoo.com. That's sfghostsociety@yahoo.com. But this place is amazing, and I'm so sad that I never had a chance to ever go and see it. You know, of course, I wasn't even born then when it burned down, but I really wish they would have kept it or maybe rebuilt it. I wonder why. Maybe it's just too costly. I don't know.
It must have been too costly.
Yeah, it's just such an amazing, amazing place. And the history of it's just, can you imagine all of those people there, like the residual energy that still must be there?
And had a lot of great times there. I mean, that was a happy place for a lot of
people. It was a happy place, you know. But even though some of the stories that we're going to discuss soon with you folks are kind of dark, you know, and they're sad. I mean, people have sort of turned that really happy, wonderful place into something sort of dark as well. And it would be interesting to go and investigate it and find out what is really there. So I think it would be a lot of fun at the same time, because you know us, we have really strange hobbies, folks. So, and you do too, because you're listening to our podcast. I'm wondering if some of the tales that have been told there are really, really true or false. I mean, that's really why we've always wanted to investigate it. And I think we should tell people a little bit about the hauntings that are being told at the Sutro Baths. But we're going to take a break. And Tony, I know you've been working super hard on getting us bands. And we always like to have a band come on and sort of tell them a little bit about their music and talk about them. And a lot of you folks have contacted us asking if we would be open to doing bands outside of San Francisco. I know last season we did pretty much Bay Area bands, but of course we'll be open to that. And this season we want to do that. We're going to open up to bands from all across the United States. And we're so grateful to hear from you folks from all over the United States who listen to this podcast. And Tony, you asked around and got some really cool bands, and you're going to let us listen to a couple of their songs.
So. I am. Right now, we're going to listen to a band called Marble Tea, which is actually Knight Berman Jr. He's out of Point Pleasant, New Jersey, and he's at MarbleTea.com. And this first track, it's kind of quirky. I really like this track a lot. It's called I'm Batman, and it's from his EP that he put out called I'm Batman.
All right, so here it is, folks. I'm Batman, and we'll be back with Supernatural San Francisco.
Say this 'cause I know you well. I may seem timid and I may seem shy, but late at night I'm a super guy. I'm Batman. I'm Batman. There's no Boy Wonder and there's no Alfred. There is a bat cave, it's my backyard shed. My Batmobile's a Toyota Corolla. I don't know a penguin, but I know a Joker. I'm Batman. I'm Batman. There's no Boy Wonder and there's no Alfred, so get the comic books and movies out of your head. The world's full of evil all over the world. Put on this little mask and be my Batgirl. I'm Batman. I'm Batman. I'm Batman.
Wow, that was really cool. Marble Tea from Point Pleasant, New Jersey.
Wow, that was Batman. Really cool. Well, welcome very back to Supernatural San Francisco. And here we are again. I'm Tommy Netzband, founder and president of San Francisco Ghost Society, here with...
Shauna Sinclair, vice president, and...
Anthony Anderson, director of Audio Phenomena.
All right, so really cool. What an interesting sort of sound, and really I enjoyed the lyrics of that as well. That, what a fun, cool song. That's great. And we'll definitely get to hear more Marble Tea later.
Yes, definitely.
Cool. So back to Sutro Baths. We promised everybody we'd talk about some hauntings and some history of the hauntings of the Sutro Baths. Now, I've always known about Sutro Baths when I moved here. You know, here in San Francisco, like 15 years ago, of course, I wanted all the ghost stories, so I would, you know, listen and hear things. And Sutro Baths was one of them. People always talked about the candles, you know, these candles that go out. Some have seen them being thrown off the cliff. Some have seen them in the tunnel.
Yeah, they say that one of them says if you actually bring a lighted candle into the end of the tunnel and leave it, someone will come in and get it.
I heard that it would get picked up and thrown at you.
Yeah, see, these are a lot of things that you hear. Yeah. And I know people who claim that a lot of activity is in that tunnel. Now, that tunnel, is that not where they used to pump the water?
Yeah, that was one of the ways the water would come through. The natural seawater that was heated by the sun would get pumped in.
Yeah, wow. I could see rituals being done there, you know, because there was a lot of, in the late 60s and 70s here in San Francisco, there was a lot of black magic that was done. And I know some of the rumors are, I mean, they're pretty deep, like sacrificial rumors and things like that. Well,
yeah.
I don't know about that, but maybe an animal sacrifice, possibly, you know. But you never know. But I definitely, it has that sort of torrid little past, that particular area. You know, and it's funny because, like I was saying, people take a really happy place and they turn it into something kind of sad and I wonder why, but we'll be the judge of that when we investigate. I know, Tony, you're going to do EVP classes there You're going to teach people how to do EVP outdoors, and that's a really tough task.
With the sound of the ocean.
Yes.
But then if you think about it, and I was saying this before, when you're in the cave, all you really hear is the ocean, and it's its own white noise.
It's good white noise, that's true.
And water is also a conductor, so you never know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're in an enclosed cave, and actually there used to be two caves. That's the big cave. There was a littler, is it a word? There was a smaller cave that they actually closed off from people, because then that's the one where there's stories that people who have gone, the homeless people used to live in the cave after it burned down, and they were washed out to sea, and that there are spirits of these homeless people that were in this cave because they never found the bodies.
Huh.
And so they closed off this cave because people kept getting in there, and when the tide comes in, that's it. It's death.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we could do a little research on that and see if that really was something that happened. I mean, wouldn't you think the papers would have picked that up?
They should have.
Yeah.
You would think so, because that's a pretty big...
Well, let's research. You know, it's interesting because a lot of ghost stories, as you all know, happen to be sort of urban legend and lore. So you're basically going on stories that may have changed over time as well. And I mean, you see the variations with the candles. You know, you hear that it gets thrown at you, you hear that it gets taken away.
Or blown out, or...
Yeah, so there's always variations. And I think going in there, doing an investigation, maybe getting some of those EVPs, you know, which is amazing. I mean, you can bring a digital recorder into a haunted location and ask questions, and sometimes when you play it back, you'll hear disembodied voices that have answered those questions. It's an amazing sort of part of the field of the paranormal, and it's really hard to do outdoors. So, Tony, I know that's going to be a challenge for you.
You definitely have to do some things more often than you would if you were in an indoor environment. So we're going to focus on that and kind of learn the ins and outs as far as ghost hunting outside and doing EVP work in particular. I mean, just there's a lot of things you really have to focus on that you wouldn't normally have to do indoors, I think.
Yeah, and it'll be a good learning experience for people. And I know Sharon Leong, she's so amazing. She'll be doing ghost photography and ghost hunting in the day. And she'll be having all kinds of cool little tricks that you could do to get ghosts in the daytime, and she's going to have an amazing, amazing session.
She did a lot of that kind of work when she and her sister Anne went to Gettysburg, and when they went to England, they used a lot of that equipment that she'll probably talk about to people.
So yeah, she's really an amazing person, so that's going to be a lot of fun, and it's interesting, you know, we'll continue on with the hauntings and the things that are heard about the Sutro Baths, and another thing that people have talked about is, people have often talked about people seeing people there and stuff. I don't know if they're bathers or workers or what, but there definitely have been some stories of that as well. And doing ghost hunting in the daytime, it's going to be interesting trying to capture that, because you're going to really depend on the ultraviolet spectrum. And hopes like, or if you could get a full spectrum camera, even better, so that you would get the whole entire spectrum, all the different light spectrums. So it'll be interesting to see how maybe we can catch some of those apparitions that people have talked about in the daytime. You know, so what else have you guys
heard? I actually found out some more about the candles.
Oh, really?
About the candle.
Wow, okay.
In this particular case, there are stories of a young woman who was believed to have drowned, and she was swept out to sea, and that her ghost actually comes. And apparently when teens call her in the cave and they bring the candles, she's supposed to come and either move it or put it out. I guess that is what...
That must have been where the candle thing... Yeah.
So I imagine throwing the candles over, I don't know how that ties in, but it sounds like it's all related in some form of, you know,
right.
The stories have changed hands, as lore often does.
Yeah, it does. So it'd be interesting to do a little bit of that historical research, like I was saying. But it also has the whole Anton LaVey connection as well.
Definitely.
And that's probably going to be interesting. We're going to talk about that next and see sort of how this whole satanic... sort of rituals that people talk about, there is a connection to the Satanic Church here in San Francisco and the Sutro Baths. And Tony, I know you've got some interesting information you're going to share, but we're definitely going to go back and listen to Marble Tea.
Wait, first I have another little history tidbit.
Oh, sure, yeah, great.
Push to that. Actually, Seal Rock, which is right out a little ways from the remains of the Sutro Baths, in the ocean, actually, people used to, there was a beach there originally when the tide, I guess the tides were further out.
Wow.
They used to actually sit on the beach there, and Seal Rock was right there. People could climb on it. They would swim to it.
No more. That thing's been underwater. I mean, that's, yeah.
There's no beach there, really.
There's no beach, yeah.
But back during the mining days, the California mining days, there was a sailing ship that was sailing down with explosives. It was carrying nothing but explosives and its crew. Well, it hit Seal Rock, and all the explosives went with it. So this was heard so far that everybody who lived, I imagine, who could hear it at the time, came down and they were all collecting pieces of the ship as souvenirs.
Wow.
So this is quite a historical event, really.
I wonder whose garages or attics in San Francisco have pieces of that boat in it. I bet there's like old family, you know, in the heirlooms or treasures, there's probably
great,
pieces
great
of that boat. Yeah.
Well, maybe they'll have an antiques road show out here.
Yeah.
They'll put that shit back together one way or another.
Yeah.
So, wow. This is just such a fascinating, fascinating place. I just cannot wait to go and investigate it. So, well, back to Marble Tea, I guess, right. Tony,
awesome.
Right?
Yeah, Marble Tea. We have another track here called Aquarium Fish Apparatus. And this is actually from an out-of-print collection of songs that he called Jersey Shoreline. And also, if you want to check out his blog, which is http://trumanshat.wordpress.com, he's chronicling the making of his new EP called Truman's Hat. And it kind of gives you tips if you want to get your own songs or your own music on iTunes.
That's nice.
He'll actually show you how to do that and kind of, you know, give you some tips that you might be able to use. So I would check it out, definitely, or marbletea.com as well. He updates that once a month, and he offers a free song download once a month as well. So let's go ahead and check out Aquarium Fish Apparatus.
Seen one before.
Aquarium
Fish Apparatus.
Aquarium
Fish Apparatus.
Aquarium
Fish Apparatus.
Aquarium
Fish Apparatus. She hung it on the bedroom post. She liked it hanging there the most. She hung it on the bedroom post. She didn't count upon the ghost.
Aquarium
Fish Apparatus.
Aquarium
Fish Apparatus.
Aquarium
Fish Apparatus.
Aquarium
Fish Apparatus. She found it in bathroom sink, filled with water and a stink. She found it in the bathroom sink. She couldn't figure out the link.
Aquarium.
Fish apparatus.
Aquarium.
Fish apparatus.
Aquarium.
Fish apparatus.
Aquarium.
Fish apparatus.
Wow, I felt like I grew gills on that last
one. Yeah, I like that track a lot, actually. Aquarium Fish Apparatus. That was from Marble Tea, who also is Knight Berman Jr. from Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Go to MarbleTea.com and check out what he's got. Download some songs, get some tips.
Definitely, and welcome back to Supernatural San Francisco. Now, we left off. We want to talk a little bit more about sort of the history of the Sutro Baths.
There's only one film ever shot inside the Sutro Baths.
I didn't know there ever was a film shot there.
It's called The Lineup. It was black and white. It was kind of a noirish type film.
Was it from the 40s?
It was from 57 or 58.
Wow.
But you actually, it was when they, by that point it was an ice skating rink or a roller skating rink.
Oh, okay.
But in the movie it was an ice skating rink, but they actually shifted back and forth depending upon the season. But you actually see the inside of it. You see the museum, because there's a chase to the museum where there's following people around. There's a class of kids coming in, climbing on all the museum and mechanique stuff, which you can see now still.
Yes.
At the pier, which is interesting, but you can see it when it was still in the Sutro Baths.
Neat.
But you can see the floors, you can see, the, you know, everything.
Yeah, I did see that clip, and there was a chase scene, right, with the police in it.
Yep.
That was really cool, yeah.
And the guy gets pushed to his death in a wheelchair.
What's the title of it again?
The Lineup.
The Lineup.
The Lineup. Actually, it just came out on DVD. It's part of a film noir box set.
Nice.
But it's the only film. So it actually, you can see a glimpse of what it used to look like inside, what was it, 58 to 66. That's how many years? 7 years later, it burned down. So
you're actually seeing, in a way, a ghost.
Yeah, really.
Well, I mean, film really is really like seeing ghosts.
True.
You know? It's a residual haunting. So it's interesting. Now, I know that the Sutro Baths later ended up burning down, which was really sad. And
it's interesting because there's more things I didn't know he had in there. He had actual Egyptian relics.
I heard there was a mummy in there.
Yeah, plant conservatories featuring palm trees. He also had, again, the restaurants, a museum, trapezes, water slides. I mean, he just had so many amazing things in there. That it was, if you wanted to go to one place, swim, fine dining, museum, entertainment, I mean, it's just like your one-stop place.
And the breathtaking views from there and the beauty of the place is wow.
You'd probably want to spend the weekend there.
Yeah.
I mean, wonder what hotels were out there at that time.
I know.
Did he have a hotel? Or where did people stay? I mean, because it would have to be, if you figure, say you lived on Russian Hill or Pacific Heights, and you had to go from Russian Hill all the way out to the outer Richmond, which wasn't even the outer Richmond at the time. That looks like it would be a really long sort of ride. You know, so I wonder what kind of hotel, there had to be something.
I would imagine.
Accommodations for people, you would think, but...
I actually have an older friend who actually has memories of going here as a kid.
Excellent.
It was the end of when it was the swimming pools, and it was the beginning of when it was roller skating and ice skating. And he said he barely remembers going when it was swimming pool still, but he definitely remembers going roller skating and ice skating. And, you know, by that time... The museum stuff really wasn't there. It was just focusing on the roller skating and the ice skating rinks. But he says he has interesting memories of that, and it still kind of freaks him out when he sees the ruins of it now.
Wow.
But he moved out of state, you know, when he was in high school.
But then he came back?
Yeah, well, he comes back to visit, and so he sees it, and it's just weird to him that this amazing, you know, lively place in his childhood is just gone.
It's ruins.
So.
Well, you know... 1966, right, is when it was burned down. And it's interesting because of the whole Anton LaVey connection to it. I mean, people who are here in San Francisco, we think of Anton LaVey, and we can all automatically imagine, oh, the Satanic Church. But you'd be surprised. A lot of people don't even know who Anton LaVey is, yeah, or anything about him, or even the Satanic Church at all. But as a San Franciscan,
you know. Yeah, you know.
So it's funny, though.
Church of Satan, by the way.
Yes, that was the name of his
Church of Satan.
Church
I know
of
his
Satan.
Daughter does run it now. Mm. And it's interesting because he did die, Anton LaVey, at St. Mary's Hospital. And it's the son of Satan died at a Catholic hospital, which is really kind of weird. And his daughter did sort of go and want to change his death certificate. I believe he died October 29th. She asked it to be changed to the 31st. And they denied it, of course.
Well, you got to perpetuate and keep that mythos going.
Well, she owns, I wouldn't say owns, but she runs the church now. And it's funny because I remember looking at some of the old articles. You go to the library and look at those old newspaper articles. And I actually made a copy of one where it was him initiating his little young child daughter into the religion. And it made the paper. It was so huge.
And she's the one that runs it now?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the influence of religion on people is amazing. So 1966, too, growing up as, someone who was Christian, grew up as a Christian person, you think of 666 and the devil and all of that stuff. And right away when I see 1966, I think, ooh, 966, if you reverse the 9, it's a 6.
And actually, it burned down on June 6th month of the year, 26.
Uh-huh. 66. See, so...
Oh, there was 666 at the end.
There was a 666.
If you want to go further...
at the end. So, but yeah, if you want to go further, but it's
I was born in September of 66.
Yeah, you can always do these conspiracy theories. But, Anton LaVey, he did lots of curses. He cursed Fox Plaza because it used to be the Fox Theater, and then...
well, they built a big, ugly building, so I got to get it.
And they always have... town on Market Street.
they always have problems with it,
too. There's suicides, and there's actually ghost rumors in that building.
Yeah, I bet. But, he did curse that area. So it's interesting to sort of talk about that side of the Sutro Baths and the fire. Now, some people say that, maybe the people who owned it set the fire, that they did.
They were going bankrupt.
They were going bankrupt. It was a way to collect the insurance money and get out of their bad debt. But I guess a lot like a Tootsie Roll Pop, the world may never know.
Okay.
How many licks it takes to get to the Tootsie Roll Pop, or...
to the center.
What really? Oh, to the center. Yes, thank you for that correction, Jonathan.
But actually, the fire broke out 36 hours after Anton LaVey cursed the property, because there was developers that wanted to develop into commercial property.
Well, are you saying he burned it down, Tony?
Not by himself, probably. Yeah.
The devil, the flames of the devil burned it down.
So his curse was, unless there was a corner of the property devoted to the devil.
Interesting.
Terrible things would always happen, and no one ever be able to develop on that property.
And nobody has.
Well, I believe the National Park Service, don't they own it now? It's part of that.
Probably, but no one's built on it.
Yeah. so therefore it must have worked, right?
Well, if you believe in that stuff,
there you go.
The whole, anything's karma. Guess it's karma.
It is karma.
But
he used to actually go, today when you look at the ruins, it's mostly filled with water. You can kind of see traces of the walls. But in the 60s, it actually was a lot more exposed. And he actually, Anton LaVey, went underground in the passages underneath through it like an old dressing room. But there are tunnels and passages that were underground that, of course, have submerged now. There's no way you can go down unless you're scuba diving. But he claims that he went down there and he had smelled this really foul smell of death. And that he heard these moans and groans and the sound of flapping wings.
Oh, God.
And that some creature flew out of the Sutro Baths. Now, what was Anton smoking? We don't know.
It's just so fascinating, this Sutro Baths. It's just a really amazing, amazing place. I'm really more excited to go there and meet everybody again.
He's just going to bring his scuba gear and actually go down
into the caverns. I'm going to go down into the caverns, deep, deep below.
Do some EVP work underwater. That's a new one.
Yeah. He's just kidding.
Yes.
No, we're actually having an underwater EVP class.
No.
It'll be a lot of fun, folks, and we're really looking forward to having everybody there. So, you know, if you would have gone to the Sutro Baths, with all that stuff going on there, what would have been your favorite place to visit? Where would you have gone, Shauna?
When it was the Sutro Baths?
Yeah, it's the Sutro
Baths.
Well, I think that the museum would probably be fun. Where all the curiosities and things are. It was so popular in the late 1800s to have, you know, bug collections and bizarre stuffed monkeys from Madagascar and just strange
things.
Ideas. Well, it showed that you were a world traveler at that time. You know, it showed that you could acquire such things, and it was the talk of the town and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I would like to go up and see the museum probably. What about you, Tommy?
Wow. You know, it's interesting you said it, because if you think, you know, no one could really go. It was a really long trip to go to India. Or to go to Madagascar.
Yeah, it was like 6 months out of your life.
Egypt, yeah. So it was really, I could see why people would be attracted. You know, I just went and saw the King Tut exhibit last weekend, and it was crowded. People still want to see those curiosities. They still want to see those, you know, sort of mysterious things. So I could definitely say, yeah, I would probably want to do the museum as well. But I'm, you know, Mishan, I like to swim. I'm a swimmer.
That's true.
Swimming, and I would want to go to the pools. I definitely would have loved to have that sort of. And I hear they had freshwater pools and they had saltwater pools.
Yeah, one freshwater and six saltwater.
Yeah,
I've never been in a saltwater pool before.
Oh, you haven't?
I've been in the saltwater, but not in a saltwater pool.
Well, it's basically just the salt water from the ocean and it comes right into the pool. And it actually, I've done that on a cruise ship where they often, they just bring in the ocean water.
I didn't know they even did that.
Yeah, they bring in the ocean water for a cruise ship and then they go ahead.
Do they heat it?
No, it's not heated at all. Just go into the ocean water. It's pretty nice.
I'll be next to that pool. I won't be in that.
Well, I definitely
don't. But I know the Sutro actually heated at a different temperatures. They actually had hot, warm, you know, lukewarm and cold, and I mean, they actually had that many pools, so they could heat them at different temperatures. Can you imagine the job of walking around to keeping the temperatures just right?
One of them had to be an ice dip, I bet.
Oh, I bet you.
Like an icy cold pool.
Yeah, it would be really hot and dip into that one, too. I mean, it just has such interesting history when you think about it. I mean, I know if you ever go to any of the exhibits for the Gay and Lesbian Historical Society, you know, they have talked about sort of encounters that happened. There are men who preferred the company of men would meet at the Sutro Baths. It was sort of a place for that. So it adds a whole other dimension to the history of this place and the significance, you know, here in San Francisco.
I'm looking forward to finding out, though. I mean, as far as EVP work in the cave and stuff.
So the truth.
I'm curious.
You can't handle the truth, Tony.
I'll find the truth, and they'll talk to me. I'll make them talk to me.
They always seem to find Tony.
Yeah, they like you, Tony.
Yeah, unfortunately they do.
But that's why you're our EVP expert, so I definitely am very, very interested in learning more and talking to people about the history and the hauntings of this fascinating place. And folks, please sign up. The 20 spots, they're going to go very, very fast, you know, and we've announced this to our RIP list folks, and we'd love you to join our RIP list, the Really Important People list. And we would love to have you join. Just go to sfghostsociety.org. And you can join right there. It says join the RIP list. And I think being on the RIP list is cool because you get a lot of really cool extras that you don't get because, of course, we're going to announce this 20 spots to our RIP list people. We always let those folks, they get in first because they're sort of our fans and we appreciate them. So we're going to send this out. So these spots will go super fast. And for those of you who don't get on, we're really sorry. We'll do things in the future. We've got another event coming up in October. So go to sfghosts.com. That's sfghosts.com. And the event's only going to be $10. $10. And that'll help us. We do all these cases for free. We help people. If you have a haunting and you need help, right, who are you going to call? San Francisco Ghost Society.
That's right.
That's right.
So, any other notes you guys want to talk about, or can we wrap it up?
I think we should get our windbreakers and get over to the Sutro Bath.
Yeah, yes. Let's go.
Let's do that. We'll just hang right in.
All right, I just want to thank one more time Marble T, Knight Berman Jr.
Yeah, thanks for so your much. We really appreciate the music. That was really cool.
And please check out MarbleT.com for more information.
All right, and thanks again. And from Supernatural San Francisco. See y'all next time, folks. We'll be doing Ghost Confessions.
And no curses.
For all things that go up in the night here in San Francisco Bay Area, this is Supernatural San Francisco. Supernatural San Francisco. Supernatural San Francisco. Supernatural. Supernatural. Supernatural San Francisco.